I'm Steve McLeod, and this is Bootstrapped, the podcast for people running bootstrapped software companies or wanting to run one. I run two bootstrapped software products, Feature Upvote, which lets your customers vote on ideas to improve your product, and Sabre Feedback, which offers a feedback widget you can add to your website. Follow along as I learn from talking to other bootstrappers and experts, and just maybe you'll learn something too. Back in January, in those innocent pre-pandemic days, Ed and I recorded an episode of this podcast stating our goals for 2020. We're now at the end of 2020, an ominous year, and it's time for us to look back at those goals and see what we've achieved, despite the challenges we weren't expecting.
It was an innocent, simpler time then, Steve. Can you even remember it? I'm sitting here rubbing my lengthy beard, running my hand through my gray hair. Yeah, what a year. What a year.
In January, on January the 30th, I think, I arrived at Melbourne Airport about the same time as a plane arriving from China. Days later, planes from China were no longer allowed in Australia and most other countries, I think. And even then, you know, I look back, the signs were all there. They had special controls at immigration where we all had to get specially checked. The immigration officers had masks. And the plane from China, every single person on that plane was wearing a mask. And at the time, I thought it was just an interesting anecdote I could tell people next time we caught up, not realizing that actually this was the start already.
Wouldn't know, Steve. Haven't left my apartment in months. So I can't even visualize what you're saying. I mean,
I'm not looking forward to airports, but I'm looking forward to traveling again. Hey, before we start with reviewing our goals, I want to share some feedback from episode 159 3 weeks ago. Courtney Farkason wrote, "Just wanted to say I loved your honesty at the end of the episode. You have self-doubt too and are working hard like everyone else. There are way too many overnight success podcasts out there, way too many TechCrunch type, I raised 6 million, I got 10,000 paid conversions a day stories. Every day I'm doubting," writes Courtney. "I think it's in my nature to do so. Part of being an entrepreneur is questioning everything, but you just got to keep going. If you're solving a problem, people find you eventually. I'm glad you said it in the episode. Made me feel like I'm not going crazy." Thoughts, Ed?
Very kind feedback. That's nice of her to take the time to leave the comment, and totally agree. Yeah. I mean, it's not all overnight success stories. It's more about the perseverance.
Perseverance. And this is something that I try to get the balance with when I'm talking on the podcast is, to what degree I really tell about all the struggles and to what degree I kind of put on a positive spin on everything and, you know, like sound like I know what I'm doing. You know, I don't think it's too enjoyable to hear me us week after week saying, yeah, you know, we don't know what we're doing. We're struggling. So I let it out a little bit in that episode. And I'm glad that Courtney connected with that.
Wouldn't know, Steve. We don't really have any problems in my business.
We'll see. So Courtney was a guest on this podcast on episode 123, where he talked about selling his SaaS. And I highly recommend it to anybody who wants to know about the experience of selling your own baby. Well, not your literal baby, but your own product. Okay, moving on. Here, back in January 2020, we talked about our goals. And now we're going to do a recap. Ed, do you want to go first and talk about what your goals were and then tell us whether you achieved them?
Yeah, sure. First up, of course, we had some, you know, MRR goals and, you know, growing the number of customers and things like that. We have grown this year, which is very good, particularly given the obviously the economic impact of the virus. We have actually lost a lot of customers who just yesterday we had a customer cancel and he's like, "Sorry, we're closing down." And then I clicked on his website and he has this whole thing, like, you know, this long letter to his customers just saying like, "Oh, sorry, we're going out of business. We can't make it work." So the, you know, it hasn't all been smooth sailing, but at the end of the year, we were bigger than we were a year ago. So very happy with that.
But less than you were expecting?
Well, you always wanted to go faster and be bigger. On the MRR goal, we did well. On the number of customers, we didn't hit the goal that we wanted. So basically, we've been able to, some of our customers have actually grown their spend with us. And we have increased the number of customers, but not quite as the amount we wanted. So a little more work to do next year.
Okay, I guess in these times, like just to be continue to be growing throughout the years, it's a positive. These people we know whose businesses were just turned upside down, and it's nothing they did wrong and nothing they could have done to save it and to be in this situation.
That's the shit. Yeah. You got to keep it in perspective. So on the product front, we had some goals for different projects that we wanted to do. And actually we made very good progress on that. I mean, one of the perverse benefits of kind of the lockdown is obviously it's had a lot of time for sitting in front of my computer. And so yeah. And one of the big goals was automating some of the processes in our business, documenting things better, sharing the knowledge a bit more. I would say we've made very good progress on that.
And that's great to hear. You know,
there's still a bit more to do, but I'm pleased with how we did on that front. So the goal that we probably have, you know, only came partially towards meeting was on the marketing front. And, you know, I wouldn't say we've really unlocked, we've done a lot of experiments and some things have been very encouraging, but I can't say we've unlocked a fantastic marketing channel.
You want to recap what those experiments were?
Oh, I don't have the full list in front of me, man. It's been a lot of different things.
Okay. I think I remember that you did this like marketing for developers thing we talked about in one episode where you did this awesome content.
So we did some content marketing. Obviously, that's still kind of in progress in the sense that it's on our site and the SEO benefits are slowly but steadily accruing. We've, you know, done different types of paid marketing. We've done all kinds of things, lots of different things. So it's been busy. It's also a challenge, though, again, with the pandemic, though, you know, probably in the middle of a pandemic, obviously people are kind of, their focus is elsewhere. So it's hard to know, like, if a marketing push, did it fail because the marketing push was wrong, or is it just the timing was wrong? And so that's probably going to be goal number one for me personally in the coming year, to keep doubling down on that and keep experimenting there. So
finding new channels, marketing channels that work. Exactly. It's tough. It's tough. And everything, all the standard ones, like, they're very competitive, right?
They are very competitive. And then actually we just had a bit of news this week. So for those of you that don't follow our space closely, just this week was announced the launch of Amazon Location Services, which is kind of, to date, our big competitor has been Google. And this is Amazon's kind of answer to Google. So kind of a maps product, various different location services, including geocoding, which is what we do. So, you know, it's not enough that we take on Sergey and Larry. Now we're going to have to put old Jeff Bezos in his place as well. But that's the thing, man. These Silicon Valley guys, you know, they all kind of hang together. And I think Jeff must have seen that we were starting to kick Google's ass, and he's like, all right, you know, step aside, but, you know, bring it, Jeff. You can have your fun with your little e-commerce thing, but man, when you come at geocoding, you better be ready.
Look, I have to warn you that Jeff Bezos is possibly a listener of this podcast, and he's probably taking notes on everything you say and do. So I think you need to be a bit more careful. He might rise to the challenge.
You know what, Steve? I'd say it to his face. I mean, assuming I could leave my apartment. But
seriously, Ed, are you worried? Is it a real threat?
I mean, it's worrisome in the sense that it creates even more noise in the market, and it's yet another option that potential customers have to evaluate and compare our service against. But on the whole, no, I wouldn't say I'm particularly worried in that. You know, when you look at the things, the reasons our service, the attributes of our service that customers really like, one of it is the simplicity. And I mean, I don't know when's the last time you looked into AWS, but I don't think anyone's ever described it as simple.
No, overwhelming, I think, is the word people say when they use it for the first time. They create an account and then they just see a whole smorgasbord of options, all with names that don't actually suggest what they do, except location services. For once, they've actually picked a name that sounds like what it does.
Yeah, it's unclear. Does that mean, do they do this or that? But the other key thing is that we use open data, which enables lots of different things. And that's one of the main reasons customers come to us, and Amazon doesn't use that. So basically it's the same as our arguments against Google. And then, you know, the final piece is also, well, two other pieces. One is the issue with GDPR and data protection. And, you know, many of our customers, they work with us because they don't want to give their data to a big American company like Google. So obviously that also applies with Amazon. And then finally, of course, you know, we're a direct contact partner. You know, people can ask us questions and have a dialogue with us. And
yeah. It sounds like obviously you've already got a strategy in mind for dealing with this, actually, that you've got good answers for why people should stay with you or use you instead of Amazon. I like that.
Yeah, well, it's the same. It's basically, like I said, I mean, we're already crushing Google, so I don't see any reason we can't do the same to Amazon. So
yeah, but it must be all the talk in your industry.
Yeah, and actually, one positive of this is it is the talk of the industry, and this gets us to our next goal that I had for the year, which is we have my other podcast, the GeoMob podcast, which is about the geo industry, and we just pushed out episode 50 of that podcast where we discussed the arrival of Amazon. But anyway, so that's been quite a nice positive outcome for this year, is getting to episode 50 on that podcast. We started, I think, in February of the year, and it's going really well. Actually, we've got more and more people listening, more and more feedback, people volunteering to be on the podcast and stuff. So that's been actually quite a highlight, particularly given that we had to cancel the in-person events, obviously, this year.
So it's been, to some degree, a nice replacement for the in-person events.
Yes, yeah. Very much so. And you think I would say a compliment, not completely a replacement. I mean, okay, we do also have online events, but it doesn't solve the issue of wanting to have face-to-face contact with people.
Yeah, yeah. Do you find that it's actually getting you customers? It's hard to tell, or that's not really your goal?
Yeah, that's the challenge, is it is hard to tell, because, you know, it's a long path from someone listening to the podcast to learning about our business to needing to be a customer to becoming a customer. It's more like long-term brand building.
Yeah.
We do like much of our marketing. So very difficult to measure. I don't think it can have a negative effect. But more importantly, that's not, I wouldn't say the primary reason we do it. We do it mainly, it's fun, and it opens a lot of doors, and
yeah,
it gives me an excuse to talk with very interesting people in the industry. So
I would say probably one podcast in 100 gets to 50 episodes. So congratulations on achieving that. I think it shows what you achieved just by sticking at something and doing it week after week, even when, well, I assume for the first weeks or months, it was a challenge to get people listening and get off the ground.
Well, we started with an audience from the events, but yes, of course, it, in the beginning, you don't know, not many people are listening. And I do think that is the key lesson. This gets back to the feedback that was left about that prior episode, is that it really is all about persistence. And, you know, it's not about, you got to commit and just say, I'm going to do this every single week until, you know, for 20 episodes, 50 episodes, or whatever it is, you know,
yeah,
in this case, it's about a podcast, but there's a lot to be said just for perseverance. So keep it up, everyone. Keep going.
And it's tough in those early weeks and months, because you don't know, is it not getting a lot of traction because you haven't waited long enough, or because you're doing something wrong? And you can't tell except by sticking at it for a year. Always, but it comes back to that, like, self-doubt again. Am I wasting my time here doing something that's never going to get off the ground? And it's really helpful if you enjoy it, so you can actually do it just for the sake of doing it. That helps you get there.
So. Yeah, well, in that regard, probably the lockdown also helped.
Yeah.
What else was I going to do,
Steve? Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's been a big success. And then the final point on my list was we discussed some non-goals, so things that we were not going to work on and not waste our time on. And actually, I think I've been pretty good in that regard about not losing a lot of time and effort and money on frivolous projects or things that didn't really pan out. So that will, again, be a key focus for next year, is like decide what we're going to do, but also decide what we're not going to do, and then stick to that.
So. Yeah, I like that. It's great to have focus. I struggle a little bit with that myself. So Ed, that wraps up your goals. It sounds like overall you did pretty well in achieving those goals. Yeah, I'm really impressed, actually.
Thanks, man. Well, you know, again, you got to put it in the context of, you know, a global pandemic and, you know, GDP crashing and the chaos of Brexit and the uncertainty of Brexit. So, you know, given all that, yeah, I'm pretty happy as well. So
yeah.
What about you, Steve? How would you assess this year?
Okay, let's look through what I actually wrote back in January. So first one was more a hope than a goal, and that was to significantly increase revenue. So I didn't actually want to set a goal that I wanted to get to, say, X increase in revenue. I intentionally don't set a target because I just find it so hard to predict. Now, for some context, when I wrote these goals, I only had feature upvote. I knew that I was probably going to buy Saber Feedback, but so I'm just going to talk about feature upvote now. And I managed to increase, or we increased revenue by about 50%.
Wow.
Now, that's very probably nice. Less than I would have expected, if I'm really honest. I said I didn't have a goal, but I probably, based on past performance, I expected to be closer to like 80%. But, you know, 50%, I'm happy with that, given the topsy-turvy nature of this year and being stuck in Australia for months, living in a service apartment and so on.
How did that come about? You got new customers, or this is the existing customers increased their spend, or break it down for us a little bit.
New customers. Also, we did put our price up in January. And so we're losing customers, but getting the same amount, number and more of new customers, that was a natural increase. So basically it was just sticking to what we were doing all along, you know, making sure our website's good in terms of content and SEO, making sure our product keeps a steady level of improvements, not because I think it needs a lot of improvements. I think that's an easy trap to get into, but because I think it gives a good message to current users and would-be users that this is a product that is alive.
Right. And is the trend continuing? I mean, is it you know, a continual slope of growth, and you expect that to keep going in 2021? Or
okay, I tend not to give too much insight into this stuff because we do have a lot of competitors. But you know what? I will say that it has slowed down. And last month in particular was quite dreadful. It was the first time we actually had a drop in MRR, in monthly revenue, since we started, by about 1%. It's hard to tell if that's because of us or because of the greater economic situation, you know, this government subsidies that were there for the first wave of the pandemic. I think a lot of that's dried up now, and a lot of businesses are, like the one you talked about, had to close down. I think we've seen especially a lot of little companies, a real flood of them last month, cancel their accounts. And I just assume they're tightening the purse strings.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the end of the year planning, and people use it as a chance to like review their spending and stuff. And then, you know, when times are tough, you cut what can be cut. So
right. And we're not an essential product for a lot of our customers. I understand this. You know, they're going to cut us before they cut their Gmail and their Git and their Jira and whatever. You know, it's a reality. And I chose a product that I knew wasn't going to be essential. And this is the downside of it. Look, it's not a tragedy. It's okay to have a month that's a little bit negative. This month has already picked up again. But you asked about whether the increase in revenue has been steady, and I'd say it was mostly in the first half of the year. Things did slow down a bit.
I see.
Yeah.
But the overall, the price increase, you're happy with that? That went smoothly?
The one I did at the beginning of year, yes, that was from $29 per month to $49 per month. Sorry, it was from $35 to $49. That went swimmingly. We did another price increase in, was it September or October? And I think this one, we missed the mark. What we did is we added tiers. And we talked about this in a previous episode. We've now got tiered pricing where people have to choose what plan they want. And on reflection, I think I missed the mark in terms of our core, how we sell ourselves compared to our competitors, is that we are just so simple. Simple to set up, simple to use, simple to choose a plan. You know, when it's just one price point, you don't need to decide anything. And now we've given people these plans. They've got to decide whether they want Slack integration, Zapier integration, SSO, custom domain name, all this stuff. And now there's a choice there. Right. So I'm actually thinking of undoing that a little bit and in early next year going to just one price point again.
Simplicity is a feature.
Yeah.
So sometimes people lose sight of that. So
I think it's important to try experiments with pricing, but it's also important to recognize when maybe it wasn't quite what you wanted. But you know, it's so hard to tell whether this is the reason why our sales slid a little bit or whether it's because of the wider situation with the pandemic. It's just so hard to tell.
Right.
Okay, moving on. Opening a new marketing channel, maybe paid ads, maybe something else. Yes and no. I tried paid ads. I sponsored a newsletter early in the year. We had to book it way in advance. And the three episodes of the newsletter we sponsored, it was a newsletter for product managers. The three episodes we sponsored just happened to be when the pandemic fully hit and nobody was getting anything done. We were just watching the news all day, trying to work out what was going on, you know? And so those ads weren't very successful. And I couldn't tell if that's because the wider situation. But what it did do is it forced us to put together a good landing page, a good message for an ad. And I took that and put it to Google Ads. I ran Google Ads for 3 months. And I have to say that did seem to work. We did get an increase in signups there. And I stopped it though, because when I did the numbers, I couldn't actually tell if it was making sense. To make up an example, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but let's say our customer lifetime value is $1,000 and it was costing us about $500 in Google Ads for every customer we were getting. And then you have to, you don't get that $1,000 in lifetime value up front, right? You get slowly over 2 years. So it's going to take at least a year for an ad, for the cost of getting a customer to pay itself. And that's a cash flow problem. And then you also have to ask, am I even doing these numbers right? Because there's a lot of assumptions. And if I get them a little bit wrong.
If you're off a little bit. Yeah, you've got to get that payback period down, I think, so that you can have confidence to do it. So
yeah. And if I'm paying, maybe I'm paying $800 for a $1,000 customer. Why is it worth it? I'm just giving Google money, making Google richer, and not really achieving much more in business goals. So what I decided to do is stop that Google Ads until we actually get a better lifetime value. And that's part of the increase in pricing that we did later in the year. And I wouldn't mind trying that again next year to see if I can get the numbers to work better.
All right. Some work to be done there. What else?
Okay. Next goal was to get the company to a point where I can take a real vacation. For example, 2 weeks off without any need for me to answer emails, et cetera.
Real vacation? Didn't you go to Australia for 6 months now? I mean, well done. You knocked this one out of the park.
Well, I still had to answer emails. Vacation, I wish. I remember when I told you this goal, I think you scoffed. I think you were very, very pessimistic about this. I think I've actually more or less kind of achieved it. And partly that was by getting our support way down by automating more things. But also starting in January, I have somebody helping in customer support / customer success for a couple of hours a day. So that does give me the possibility that I can just ignore emails knowing somebody else is answering them.
Oh, very good. That's a big step forward. So
whether it's a real vacation, whether I'll actually be able to stop myself from really checking emails and getting involved is another thing. But I think more or less I'm there. We'll see.
Well, now over the holiday break, I've got a pretty big, I'm thinking of getting out of the spare bedroom and making my way to the living room. It's kind of might spend some time over there. And then, yeah.
Okay. Remember to pack well, drink lots of water, and be careful around strangers. Will your family even recognize you?
We hang out every now and again. So
back on the idea of not having to answer emails, I think I've also got the company to a point where I can rely on one of my freelancers to also help out with answering emails. And I think they have a pretty good idea of how things are and, how to solve problems and so on. So I think I've accidentally achieved that one.
That's not minor. That's a big step. Congrats.
Good, thank you. So I also had a personal goal, and that was to get much better at speaking Spanish. I live in Spain. And I've been here for an embarrassingly long amount of time, given that I'm not very good at speaking Spanish. Yeah, I got a little bit better. My 18-month daughter probably understands Spanish better than I do. But I figured out why that is. So she has a babysitter who comes over 2 hours a day, or we have a babysitter who comes 2 hours a day and speaks to her only in Spanish. And it's that's what I'm missing. I'm not doing this. I'm not having that daily interaction for a significant amount of time in Spanish. And maybe that's something I can fix. But
you
I have
want
got
me to get you a babysitter? Is that what
perhaps, but it just shows how children can learn so easily. They're just in this non-learning environment, but they learn automatically because of this.
Well, I think you can learn as well, Steve. But it's absolutely the case. Yeah, there's no shortcut. You just got to put in the time.
Yeah,
you have to be in situations where you're forced to use that language, and then you will. I mean, it will be painful, and you'll make mistakes. But if you don't create those situations, you're not. Then it's going to go slow.
Yeah.
So
good point. Now, when we got stuck in Australia back in March, one of the things I did to deal with the situation was to do a Spanish lesson every day. I think I was just doing Duolingo then, plus some other one, I forget what it's called. But in the last 3 months, I've been doing Pimslua, which are these audio lessons, which are fantastic. And I do feel like I'm making great progress. Not as good as I'd like to be, but I've definitely improved a lot since January. And that's something I definitely want to continue doing every year. The best thing is I've actually got it as part of my daily routine. You know, I get up and make myself a coffee. I do a Spanish lesson. And that's like, it's like flossing or brushing your teeth. Once the routine's there, it just becomes part of the day.
Muy bien.
Muy bien. Gracias. Now, I just hope that nobody listening who's a fluent Spanish speaker decides to test me by writing me an email in Spanish.
Well, you know, I find the written, you know, reading is much easier than I find than verbal comprehension. That might just be me because my hearing is terrible, but I don't know.
Yeah. And you can take your time, look up difficult words.
You can take your time, exactly. And you can decipher it generally. Obviously, you can occasionally make mistakes. But anyway, man, you know, you stuck with it. So, you know, mastering language is a task for a lifetime, not just not 1 year. So.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it's good that after so long in Spain, I've finally gotten to this habit of learning. So actually looking back at these goals, I have to say I did better than I expected. And I like this process. I think it's the first time I've actually done it, set some public goals at the beginning of the year and then come back and reflected on them. And, you know, I haven't pinned them up on the wall and followed them, but I think just having them and talking about them has helped them cement into my ideas.
Totally agree, Steve. Let's do it again for 2021. So
good.
I'm already formulating my list.
Okay, I will do the same and we'll catch up again in a week or two and do this all over again and talk about 2021.
Exactly. I mean, and for all the listeners out there, I guess they can throw their goals on the old forum, right?
That would be great. Yeah.
Accountability.
Yeah.
Yep. Heckling, whatever it is they're looking for. I can,
Or tell us how you did so much better than we did, although it's not a competition.
It's not a competition, man. No. That is, in my opinion, the key point.
Yeah.
It's more just pick your thing, stick to it. See how far you get.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And look, we both have profitable businesses and managed to survive 2020. So I think can't ask for more than that.
Agree. It's been a rough year, obviously, for many people. So, you know, I guess we can close by, you know, wish everyone happy holidays and all good wishes for 2021 and stay healthy. Stay healthy.
Ditto. Okay. That's all for today. Bye, Ed.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. That concludes this episode of Bootstrapped. You can discuss this episode and other bootstrapping topics on our forums at discuss.bootstrapped.fm.